Let's talk some football with Ian Valentino. He's with the 33rd team, NFL writer, coming off the divisional round. And Ian, it's Dukes and Bell. I want to start with the NFL and officiating. Mike and I have spent some time on this today. Is there an issue? We saw Patrick Mahomes fake a couple of calls. Some were more severe than others. One didn't actually happen when he stepped out of bounds. How does the NFL solve this? Because fans were irate over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's reaching a really concerning point because we've seen it in the NBA, and I think that the NBA has kind of suffered from these star calls, right? Like these inopportune moments, and then we get the benefit of replay at home, and maybe they don't in the stadium. So what's the answer? Is it, do you add replay during a game and slow the game down even more? I don't know that that's it. I think it almost needs to go the way of the NBA, where the NBA last year said, hey, don't call as many fouls. Let this be a more physical game. I think the NFL is going to have to look at this and say the same thing, where it's these 50-50 ticky-tack calls. We know we need to protect our players, especially because we've added more games, international travel, and all these things. But if it's a close call, just pocket it. And if things go over the line, then, yeah, you can call it, especially if it's early. Set the tone early. We've seen that happen over many years. But I think they're going to have to walk this back a little bit, especially when it comes to these superstar players, because you don't want that favoritism, and it does seem to be the same teams, just like we saw with the Patriots for 20 years. The last thing everyone wants to see is the Chiefs get every single break every single week.
It's true. I mean, I get it. A three-peat's a hell of a story, and leagues generally do well when teams dominate, but there will be a pushback. I'm with you at some point. The other thing with this is, I said this to Carl, how about instant replay? I get it. They got embarrassed by how bad that NFC Championship game was with the Rams and the Saints in a blown pass interference. To me, that's such a crucial call that needs to be reviewed. I know they'll say, well, it's subjective, it slows the game down. Well, when there's millions of dollars being bet on these games, can't we get it right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think there should be, like, maybe a challenge a half, and or maybe it's like an automatic thing that's going on, almost like the scoring plays that it's happening, and maybe you save it just for like the 15-yarders.
Right.
You might have to put some really certain criteria on there, but especially like the pass interferences where it's spot of the ball fouls, like you can get 50 yards on a play, and if you miss that call, you ruin it. So, yeah, I'd rather get it right. I think that's what it comes down to. You just have to make it efficient. You have to make it fairly clear. You can't have it be a 10-minute commercial break or something like that. No one wants to watch that. But there is that fine line, and I think they can thread that needle if they try. I'm just not sure if they're ever going to be willing to try.
Ian, let's talk about these games and how they played out. Specifically, I want to get to the Ravens game. You know, everybody talks about the drop by Mark Andrews, but the Ravens make mistakes in this game as well, and that's why they're not advancing to the AFC Championship game. Does this harm Lamar's legacy at all? I still think he's the MVP.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts him too badly right now. I mean, look at their regular season success, and I know that that's not postseason success. Like, we can pick it apart. They haven't won two straight playoff games since he's gotten there, but he's such a dominant player. There are concerns, right? And he's going to get those questions just because it's become Super Bowl or bust. But he's still a great player. Yes, the mistakes hurt. The team that they ended up playing, the Bills, I think had one penalty the entire game. They played almost a flawless game. I think instead of blaming and tearing down, I almost think you have to look at the other way and just say Buffalo played almost a perfect game, even though they didn't have the craziest stats. They played a really great game. They forced the Ravens to play a perfect game, and they just didn't. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way. It doesn't mean that next year Baltimore won't push through. They figured out things. I think Baltimore figured out things that will help them more next year to make them a stronger team. And I thought that they looked like a much more complete team than what we saw in previous years. So it's frustrating, especially because Lamar put the ball on the ground and, you know, they had an interception, things like that, the drop. But look at what they were up against. When the other team barely commits one penalty and doesn't make a turnover, you're going to generally lose that game anyways. So I think they can walk away from the season disappointed, but not ready to be like, hey, there's something inherently wrong with Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, he's just got to make better decisions holding the football. I know it was a high snap, and that got him off balance, but we've seen Lamar do this in warm weather and cold weather, hold the football like a loaf of bread. So everybody wants to kill, you know, Mark Andrews, but I just thought, like, two turnovers from Lamar, bad interception. I still think, and I don't know where you fall on this one, but I thought Derrick Henry, 16 carries, more. It's almost like Todd Monken forgot about him for a large portion of that game when they really got rolling in the third quarter when they established and stuck with the run.
Yeah, yeah, same thing happened last year. I mean, I think Munkin's a great offensive coordinator, but that's exactly what happened against the Chiefs last year. So they go out and get Henry to prevent that, and they do it again. Now, I know the backups had some really good runs, so maybe if the ball goes to Henry, maybe his numbers look a little bit better, but that was always going to be the recipe. The Bills are a very bend-but-don't-break defense. When they force turnovers, they win, and that's exactly what Baltimore did. They played into their hands just like the Chiefs did it to them last year. You know, it's the turnovers are a big problem, but like play calling too, when you've got something going and you're doing well, you know, they get into the red zone, especially I think it was early in the second half, they had a couple big runs, they could do three straight passes, and it's like, well, what are you doing? Like, you were working out on the ground, you're limiting possessions, you had the right game plan, and then you totally switch and you lose track of what the goal was, which is limit possessions, be efficient, and really pound the defense, especially, you know, playing some tough weather. They lost track of that, I think, and got a little too excited.
Ian, let's talk about losing both coordinators with the Lions. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ian Valentino joining us, 33rd team NFL writer. What's this mean for the Lions? Mike and I both agree. We think you're going to get back, but when you do lose both coordinators, it affects your football team. What's Dan Campbell do?
Yeah, this has the potential to be devastating because it's not going to just be the coordinators. It's going to be the assistants of the coordinators too. So both Glenn and Ben Johnson are going to poach all of those positional coaches. They're going to promote them up, and you're going to be starting almost from brand new. And so thankfully Dan Campbell, I think he's certainly set himself up really, really well with his reputation. He's obviously got the contacts throughout the league. He took chances on guys like Glenn and even on Johnson. So I think the bigger names, the most qualified guys are going to be willing to come through him. Maybe he goes more the experience route this time. Maybe we see him dip into former head coaches and go the opposite strategy of what he did last time. You know, you have faith in him, but that's a lot of change. And you're going to expect some level of drop-off, especially when the defense is very young. And the offense, I think, is pretty reliant on that scheme. Like, they have a really good offensive line, and they've got some good playmakers, but it's not like they have Calvin Johnson or, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs is really good, but they don't have maybe Hall of Fame level talent at any position on offense. They have good to very good talent. And so I think keeping the aggressiveness of that unit is going to help them, but they need to continue to protect Jared Goff and make things easy for him just because of the style of quarterback that he is. He doesn't do that well when everything around him isn't going well. So I think that's the thing that I'm going to be watching is how do you rebuild that offensive staff?
You know, it's been interesting talking about the playoffs. I just thought the story that's surprising everybody is how good Dan Quinn's Commanders look. And we know Jaden Daniels is, you know, is a rock star. And, you know, Goff did make some mistakes in that game. But can they handle the Eagles? Because it just seems like that Eagles defense, a lot of fans down here go, man, you know, draft a bunch of Georgia Bulldogs and good things happen. Do you give the Commanders a fighting chance or are the Eagles going to roll?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been so amazed by what Washington's done because they're doing it with the least amount of talent of any team in the playoffs. And I don't think it's close. Like, right. It's unbelievable what that coaching staff has done there and what Jaden Daniels has done too. Like, it's really crazy. I can't think of another time when we've seen that. We've seen these fluky years where a team will go far and like you can just tell that team has kind of gotten lucky. I don't think that they've gotten lucky. I just think they're being maximized by a staff that's done an amazing job. And so they're kind of redefining what they're doing. But you're right. I look at Philadelphia's trench talent, and I say there's no way that Washington can overcome that trench talent. Like, what they did to the Rams and what they do to every team is really just bulldoze everybody. They just have too much speed, too much power. But I don't want to rule out the fact that Jaden Daniels has been doing this, like, that they've still been figuring it out. I give them a puncher's chance. It's probably a low chance, but if Jalen Hurts is banged up, if he doesn't play especially well, there's that little bit of a window, and I think some of that is Philadelphia has a young defense too. So there's a little bit of a crack there, but it would really be, I think it'd be a pretty historic moment in Washington's franchise history to be able to pull this off. So I wouldn't say they have no chance, but I'd maybe say, like, I don't know, 20% chance or less. Like, they're going to be a heavy underdog for a reason.